Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is the final verses of the gospel. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men alive." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Dear friends, this week, cable news network anchor Don Lemon, I've heard some people say Lemon, said this week on his show to his fellow anchor Chris Cuomo, quote, "Jesus Christ, if that's who you believe in, Jesus Christ, admittedly, was not perfect when he was here on this earth," unquote. And then Mr. Cuomo went on to say in one of his programs, quote, "If you believe in one another, and if you do the right thing for yourself and for your community, things will get better in this country." He said, "You don't need help from above." He said, "It's within us." Now, why, we might ask, are Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo and people like your college professors, many of them, not all, and so many others today who have never cracked open a Bible, why are they so afraid of this man, the Lord Jesus Christ? It's obvious from these quotes they want to bring Jesus down to their own level. They would rather not confront the risen Lord Jesus standing in front of them. And certainly, they don't think of Jesus like Peter does in the boat, who reacts out of a holy fear of God's holy presence in front of him. No, the fear people have today is that there is another God other than themselves. And that's where the level of knowledge and care and concern for the gospel comes from, that's outside of these walls. It's the attitude that says Jesus is not perfect, or believe in yourself, you do the right thing, you don't need help from above, it's probably not even in existence. It's the religion of the law, we call it, the religion of works, of never knowing if you have anything at all to look forward to after this life ends, so you might as well just do all you can in this life to be a, quote, good person. It's the religion of being one's own God. And that's the level of care and concern and knowledge that's out there for the Christian faith that you confess in here. Yet, you have joined together in one voice today to confess against these voices. You confessed one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father by whom all things were made. And then we continue to the phrase that the devil himself cringes to hear, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate, made flesh by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary. And then we bow the knee, or I hope in your pew you're able to bow your head at the most holy of words, and he was made man. Crucified, suffered, buried, risen, ascended, coming again with glory, his kingdom will have no end. That man says to Peter, "Do not be afraid." when he confronts him with a miracle catch of fish. "Do not be afraid, Peter, for I have come down from heaven. But I will not, and I cannot, out of love for you and for all humanity, depart from you. Not even if you are unclean, not even if you are a sinner, not even a leper, a tax collector, a prostitute, a Gentile, a Jew, red, yellow, black, or white, a person testing positive for a virus. Do not be afraid." Chris Cuomo, Don Lemon, or you? You, this precious, scattered, tossed to and fro by the winds of the devil himself in the year 2020, this flock of Jesus Christ of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church. Do not listen to these voices, nor their source. Listen to this God-man, Jesus Christ, who speaks from that boat on the sea that day when he said, "Do not be afraid. You are God's elect. You are God's holy, chosen, royal nation." And so was St. Peter in that boat. Jesus would not pay attention to Peter's attempt at piety. "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man, O Lord." Why? Because Peter was true Israel. Peter was elect from God before the foundation of the world, called to be a holy, royal nation of priests who serves the Lord of all the earth with all that he has and all that he is. Not because Peter had done any particular thing to merit this, no way. But he was God's man at God's time and in God's place, and had chosen him to follow the Lord and to learn from him and to eventually give it all, even unto death, for the sake of the gospel. For Jesus said to him, "From now on, you will be catching men alive." This is Peter's baptism in the sea. At Jesus' word, Peter is no longer what he was. At Jesus' word, Peter is no longer a fisherman who catches fish for a living. At Jesus' word, he is Jesus' man, a disciple, an apostle, a witness to all our Lord did for us men, and for you and for me, delivered and sealed for heaven. And the gospel he preached and preaches will deliver and seal many saints for heaven, and it still does to this day. At your baptism, Jesus said the same thing to you in so many words through the word and the water. "Do not be afraid. From now on, you are no longer a slave of the devil. From now on, no longer are you one with an unclean spirit, but you are God's child, God's elect, God's adopted heir. From now on, you are named with the name above every name, and you are one with him who bears the lovely name of Jesus. From now on, you are united with him in a death like his, so that you will be united with him in a resurrection like his. Do not be afraid. From now on, things have changed, eternally changed. You have been given help from above, and you still are. You have the thing Peter was called to preach, eternal life in Christ our Lord. You belong to Jesus, this preacher of good news and good tidings. You do not belong to the doubt and the fear that's in your heart and mind, and in so many hearts and minds today. Do not be afraid. From now on, Jesus has made you his dear child, and nothing can take you away from him or his eternal blessings and his care. Nothing can take you away from him. Not catching a virus, not dying because of a virus, not unrest and discord and sinister forces at work to destabilize our nation, culture, and civilization itself, not death, not life, not angels, not rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Nothing. That's the other apostle, Paul. He said, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed in us. For the creation waits with eager longing, for the revealing of the sons of God. He suffered more, the man who wrote those words, than any other did for the gospel. And he wrote, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And then Peter himself, years later, facing his own death by crucifixion, wrote the words of our epistle this morning, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Even if you should suffer a lot of things, you will be blessed by God with the promised salvation in Jesus Christ. You have that help from above. Peter said, have no fear of these things, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. These men went to the death for those words, to the sword, and to an upside-down crucifixion outside of Rome. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything, and they followed him. From now on, they did not fear the world, nor the harm of the world, the stupidity of the world. They did not join any longer in the fear and the trepidation that this world shows at the drop of God's hat concerning the judgment that is surely drawing near. Just as our Lord Jesus said that the unbelieving world will show such fear and trepidation and out of their minds craziness. No. From now on, from that boat on the Sea of Galilee for Peter, or from the road to Damascus for Paul, they were God's children, God's men, God's preachers. They were baptized into Jesus just as you were. And you'll see them in heaven, along with many others whom God has called home. Andrew, you are unique beyond all others because we have faced a year together unlike any other. And in a few short weeks, God defines you again as you were in your baptism, the day you were married, and when God gave you and your wife the gift of a son. But this time, at his word, through his holy church, you will take up Elijah's cloak. You're going to burn the oxen yoke of anything you used to be. And you're going to turn a hand to the plow of the sword of the Spirit. And you're going to preach and teach the life-saving, life-giving word of God. I want you to hear the words of Dr. Luther today concerning Peter's example that he set by the Lord for being in this apostolic office. Dr. Luther wrote, not only should the shepherds tend without repayment, but they should also expect the prophet's reward for it. As the Lord tells Peter, as an example to all others, Peter, if you love me, tend my sheep. The reward you should expect here on earth shall be this. You girded yourself and you walked where you would, but when you are old, another will gird you and carry you where you do not want to go. John 21. See, dear brother, what it is to tend Christ's sheep, to serve and preach the gospel freely, and to expect for it to be girded and carried. That is, to hazard and wager body, wife, child, goods, and everything. Who would do this unless he loved Christ and did it for his sake? We shall just have to accept this danger and see and know and expect bitter, venomous, devilish wrath, gnashing of teeth, and flashing of knives. Sounds like a job you really should want. If we are doing this for money or goods, for honor or sensual pleasures, then we are the most senseless people upon whom the sun has ever shone since the beginning of the world. You are being sent to Reynolds to be the one who proclaims the message of the gospel, which brings the message, the people of God, forgiveness, and opens heaven's doors to them. To catch men alive with a word from God. Martin Fransman said, not to be a silk scarf of flashy brilliance that men admire, but to be a rough wool blanket that gives them warmth and the life that they need. The pastor is trying to shepherd his hearers to heaven. That is full of hope for today and for tomorrow. It needs to be heard in many places. So do not fear, Andrew. From now on, Pastor Keller, go to be a fisher of men alive, and go with our blessing and our prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.